percentage point drop since the last survey 3 years ago. This survey does find 85% of 13 to 17-year-olds in this country regularly use YouTube, 72% use Instagram, 69% are on Snapchat. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Today, President Trump took to Twitter to slam the Russia investigation for costing the taxpayers nearly $17 million. That new report out by the Justice Department is the second financial statement filed since the case began over a year ago. Your numbers on Wall Street currently, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up just over 200 points. This is USA Radio News.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. 866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke said today that his agency has been working with Native American tribes that are suffering under an influx of opioids and other hard drugs. Zinke joined Fox News to discuss why drugs are such a big problem on Native American reservations.
A lot of times the tribes have a lot of land, not a lot of law enforcement on the land, and they're being used by the drug dealers that come in, mule and traffic, not only drugs, but child trafficking is really large, and they need some help. Mm-hmm. So we work with the tribes. We're serious. As the president has said, this is a war on opioids. It's destroying communities. It's destroying communities on Indian reservations at a higher rate. And so we're targeting the problem, which is the drug dealers, and we've been enormously successful.
Zinke also explained some of the logistics.
So what we do is we coordinate with the tribal police, nation to nation, but it's been enormously successful, and I'm proud of what our BIA, our Bureau of Indian Affairs mm-hmm. officers have done, our BLM. We have 4,000 law enforcement officials.
A new poll conducted by Morning Consult and Politico shows that 53% of Americans are in favor of the new national anthem policy, while 32% disagree with it, and 15% had no opinion. Republicans do seem to be the biggest supporters of the new policy, with 80% approving and 60% strongly approving. The poll contacted just over 2,200 Americans and was conducted in the last week. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutterton Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Well, good afternoon, Hunterdon, on this first day of June. And frankly, it's been a scorcher as far as I'm concerned. Of course, I'm driving a vehicle without air conditioning right now. So what's the weather? Well, the weather, supposedly, there was a slight chance of showers this afternoon. And then tonight there's a 40% chance. So far, it's been beautiful, sunny, nice, big, white, fluffy clouds. I haven't seen any rain, and no one has called me about rain in the area. So I think we missed that one. As I said, there was only a slight chance of showers, and supposedly showers and possible thunderstorms after 1 p.m., but then there was some patchy fog this morning, actually. Tonight, there's a 40% chance of thunderstorms. So that, obviously, is something we look to see when we have such hot days. How about tonight? As I said, 40% chance of thunderstorms, and then a chance of showers. Unfortunately, tomorrow, and there's some great things going on, the showers likely, also predicting thunderstorms, but supposedly those will be after 3 p.m., and some of the storms could produce heavy rain, about a 70% chance of precipitation, could be possible a quarter of an inch to half an inch. But don't let that stop you from going out to community day, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. By Saturday night, there is a heavy rain, 70% prediction. By the way, tonight, low of about 68. Tomorrow, high of about 79 degrees, which is about 5 or 6 degrees cooler than what they predicted today. And I think it certainly feels warmer than 84 degrees out there this afternoon. By tomorrow night, again, 70% chance of heavy rain, and then scattered showers, maybe a 40% chance of scattered showers in our area. Isolated showers are expected on Sunday, and then by Sunday night, again, scattered showers, 50% chance of rain on Monday. So, you know, not great weather. I think we're still getting some of the aftermath from some storm somewhere. In any event, I'll be back. I'm Pat Smits. I'm your host of It's the Law, and that's the program that we're starting, and I'll be back after telling you a bit from some of our sponsors.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Well, I'll talk about that, and then I'll get back with a couple of our other sponsors. But I wanted to tell you some of the things that are going on this weekend. Tomorrow is Community Day at the fairgrounds. I guess maybe the thing to do would be to get there early. It's starting at 11 a.m. and ending at about 4. One of the things that I'd like to remind people, because I always take advantage of this, is there's a community shredding event between 11 and 3 p.m. You'll just pull in the parking lot and you'll look at the big truck. Probably better to get there earlier in case there's heavy rain later in the afternoon. But they'll be there from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Bring your boxes of papers that you want shredded. And this is a free event sponsored by Hunterdon County. And it really should be appreciated because it's time to shred papers that you don't need any longer. And my advice as an attorney is that you should shred anything that would have any kind of identification. Believe it or not, there are people that get a hold of bank account numbers and other numbers, and I think we all know how easy it is to have identity theft these days. You have to be careful. You really have to be careful. You don't give your Social Security number over the phone. I won't even give the last 4 of mine. I find it really incredible that sometimes there's a certain bank, not my favorite bank, obviously, but they will call about my account, and they will ask me for all kinds of personal identification, such as Social Security number. Well, obviously, if it is the bank and they're calling me, they have this information, and there's other non-intrusive information that they can get from you. Same thing with credit card numbers. Don't give them out over the phone. Well, here's my little commercial, obviously, but I was really talking about Community Day. Good idea to just pack up, any papers and keep them. I mean, I can keep them in a big plastic bag or a box and then just take them down at one of the community-sponsored days. Obviously, if you're a big business, then you have to call the shredding company and get them to come. But that's what's happening tomorrow. That will be outside. And then I want to also tell you what's happening on Sunday. There's a Flemington Fine Artisan Show at the Stengel Factory from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the show promises the sale of exceptional handmade art and craft by outstanding area artists. If nothing else, it should be fun to go down to Stengel Factory and take a look. at what's on display. Don't have to buy, but you can certainly look. And I also wanted to talk especially about, if you were listening, they were talking about drugs and alcohol, opioid problems. The point they were making is what they're trying to do on the American Indian reservations, Native American, big problem. And not only is the problem because of the vast expanse of some of the reservations, certainly the Navajo Reservation in the Southwest. When I say Navajo Reservation, it's in the states of New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and Utah. It's that Four Corners area, and it's a huge reservation. And I noticed they talked about having 4,000 law officials. Well, that couldn't possibly be enough even to deal with the Navajo Reservation. And there's really huge problems. Years ago, I worked on the Navajo Reservation, and years ago, the problem was really pretty much just alcohol. But now the opioids, and there's child trafficking. You know, these are destroying the communities. And so that whatever we can do, but it's not just in other areas. It's not in the, just in the cities. It's not in just other areas. It's right here. Huge problem in Hunterdon County. I think the prosecutor's office is doing, really working with the community, doing everything possible to try to intervene early. There's always, if you have concerns, call Hunterdon Helpline. They're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, and they're here to serve you if you're dealing with teenagers, and that's a huge problem, just a huge problem. And in fact, one of the things that, because it's June 1st and there are a lot of proms this weekend, next weekend, and I probably may have missed a few. For example, tonight, Hopewell Township High School prom. And real concern, and I don't know how you talk to the teenagers, but you really need to. Kids are taking things that they really don't know what they're taking. There's a lot of real problems with rapes, sexual abuse, other abuse, and, you know, kids who are intoxicated just are not dealing the way they might otherwise deal. Make sure that your teenagers, both boys and girls, have money. Make sure that they have a cell phone. Make sure that they can call you, no questions asked, at any time, day or night, and you will pick them up, and you will not punish them. You will not do anything, because what you want to do is encourage them to call. Hopefully, as we know, the kids will drink. Hopefully, there will be a sober, someone who stays sober, so they don't have the kinds of accidents that, you know, at least my growing up in the Midwest, generally at least one person was killed in a car accident every year, and I lived in a very, you know, outside a very small town, so it's not going away. It's actually getting worse. The other thing, and I forgot to bring the statute because I was going to talk more in detail, but be sure that you tell your kids if they're ever with anyone who is overdosing or very intoxicated that they can call an ambulance, stay with the person, and they will not get in trouble. They will not be prosecuted. There's a certain age range. I think it's up to 26 years old, and I'm sorry that I didn't bring the statute because it's so important, and I don't know that kids are being told about it. I don't think the schools are disseminating the information the way they should, and I think many parents don't know about it, and kids panic. And you can understand that they think somebody's just drunk, they take them home to sleep it off, or, you know, they don't realize that the seriousness of the overdose. And the other problem is that so often the kids think that they can call the police. The police will come. There's an anecdote, and the kids will be saved. That doesn't always happen. But in any event, they should call immediately, and they will not be prosecuted if they stay with the, and I'm going to say victim, but, you know, sometimes, you know, these are self-inflicted, so they're self-inflicted victims, and I'm not condoning it, but we don't want our teenagers dying, and we want them to be responsible citizens. And at that point, the responsible citizen is the person who calls or takes the person to the hospital, does something, intervenes, so that we don't have either, you know, someone dying or, you know, brain death. I mean, there are just so many things out there. So be sure to talk and have the talk with your teenagers. Not an easy talk. I think we all remember when we were there. Frankly, I remember friends dying. And, you know, probably I'm not I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure that there are many others who, you know, have seen friends or children of friends, etc. But also remember that the opioid crisis is not just the teenagers. Unfortunately, most people become addicted using, not abusing the drugs initially, but actually using them as prescription drugs. And it's really a problem because you're in an accident, you had surgery, something else, and you do need to take some pain medication, but it can become very addicting very quickly. So other than my little rant, I will get back after a couple messages from our sponsors, and then I'll talk about what's happening in legal issues this week. But again, make sure, you know, go online, look up the New Jersey statute, make sure your kids know about it, and so that in the event of a near tragedy, it doesn't become a tragedy. So hopefully this talk, or not my talk, but some parent out there will, or some other person out there, will let someone know, and there will be a life or lives saved as a result of it. So back in just a moment.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the
Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today. at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Back with It's the Law on June 1st. And one of the things I wanted to talk about is a Supreme Court case that was approved for publication on this week, probably Thursday. And the case was State versus Hester, and the opinion was written by Justice Albin. So this is a case where the state of New Jersey appealed from the appellate division's judgment affirming the trial court's determination that a 2014 amendment to the community supervision for life statute did not apply to defendants' cases. So there were a number of defendants, and they were convicted of various sex offenses, and pursuant to the Violent Predatory Incapacitation Act, were obligated to serve special sentences of CSL following their custodial sentences. In other words, following the time that they were in prison, they had to serve special sentences. And if there was a violation of any of the conditions of CSL, that constituted a fourth-degree crime. So that what happened here is even though they had served whatever term in prison, they had to then participate in the special sentences of CSL. And then what happened is, and if they violated that, even though they had fully served their prison sentences, which usually means if you fully spend the entire sentence in jail, then you're out. If you could be out released earlier on parole, but if not, even if you served, even if these people served their full sentence, there would be this special sentence that they would still have to be under supervision. And then, so what happened in 2013 is the legislature passed a law replacing CSL with parole supervision for life, under which violation of conditions could be treated as a fourth-degree offense or a parole violation. In contrast, under CSL, the parole board only could refer the matter to the prosecutor for presentment to the grand jury for an indictment. In other words, this new law was retroactively changing what had happened before. So furthermore, violators of CSL were eligible for parole, while PSL violators were obligated to serve their entire sentence. So what happened is the legislature amended the statute again in 2014, elevating violation of CSL to third-degree offense, facing a presumption of imprisonment along with conversion to PSL status, which is, you know, more restrictive. So in this case, a grand jury indicted defendants for CSL violations under the 2014 amendment, but the trial court ruled that the 2014 amendment constituted an ex post facto law as applied to the defendants in violation of the, and that would be in violation of both the state and the federal constitutions. Well, what does that mean? Well, if there is a criminal law passed, it's not retroactive. It can't be, because then it would be ex post facto, after the fact. The defendants need to know what the criminal law is, what the statutes are at the time of the offense. Now, doesn't mean that they need to know it. I mean, you can't walk in and say, well, I didn't know that was a crime. But the point is, you can't, someone can't commit some act that is not a crime, and then just because it, later on the legislature says it's a crime, you can't go back and prosecute those people. So in any event, the trial court ruled that the 2014 amendment constituted an ex post facto law as applied to these defendants, and that would be in violation of the state and federal constitutions. Now, the appellate division, in other words, the state filed an appeal, and the appellate division affirmed the trial court. So now, after that, on appeal to the Supreme Court affirmed the judgment of the appellate division, agreeing that the state and federal ex post facto clauses precluded retroactive application of the 2014 amendment to the defendant's CSL violations, since the amendment retroactively increased punishment for the defendant's earlier sex offenses by enhancing penalties for violating conditions of release. So the Supreme Court noted that parole and probation were punishment for crimes and equated CSL and PSL to indefinite forms of parole. And the Supreme Court rejected the state's contention that the 2014 amendment constituted a recidivist, recidivist statute. In other words, someone, and this is always especially a concern with sexual predators, because they do it again and again and again. So in this case, however, they can't be as difficult, and no one wants that to happen. You can't have a statute that is enforced, a statute that's enforced on someone when the statute wasn't in effect at the time. So that's in the criminal area. Well, what's happening in the family law area? Well, this is the petitioners in this case. The petitioner appealed from the trial court's order discharging its attorney's lien and denying entry of judgment against plaintiff. So this is family law, although it's an appellate division decision. And in this case, the plaintiff had retained petitioner to represent her in post-judgment proceedings in her divorce case against the defendant. So this is family law. It's a divorce, and this often happens. In other words, after people are divorced, one party may seek to modify some provisions of the judgment of divorce or property settlement agreement, or they may seek to enforce them, or maybe even to clarify something that they can't agree on. So in New Jersey, all attorneys need to have written retainer agreements. In other words, the first thing I need from a client, potential client, is to provide them with a written retainer agreement that specifies a number of things, including the hourly rate, the terms of the agreement. The client would have to agree that he or she can pay me. There are a number of protections that go into a retainer agreement. And in fact, in my case, because I handle only family law, I always provide the potential client with a retainer agreement, tell them to go home, read it over. They have every right to consult another attorney and or ask me questions about it. It is a standard retainer agreement, except possibly for the actual retainer, because that could depend on the case. But in any event, in this case, pursuant to the written retainer agreement, the plaintiff agreed to pay an initial retainer of $5,000 and pay the subsequent monthly invoices. So apparently in this case, the plaintiff paid the initial retainer but did not make any further payments to the attorneys. And so the petitioner, the attorney, alleged that plaintiff owed a balance of approximately $100,000 plus interest, and filed the present post-judgment application to determine and enforce an attorney's charging lien and enter judgment against the plaintiff. The trial court denied the petitioner's application. And on appeal, the appellate division affirmed the denial of a charging lien, but reversed the denial of entry of judgment in favor of the petitioner, and remanded to the trial court for determination of the amount of petitioner's attorney's fees. Now, the court first rejected petitioner's argument that the Attorney's Lien Act did not apply to legal services performed entirely post-judgment. So that was the first argument. And that the petitioners argued that the attorney's liens could only protect fees for services rendered in securing a judgment or verdict. However, the court reversed the trial court's judgment to permit the petitioner to cure deficiencies in its evidence supporting its application for fees. The appellate division noted that the discrepancies precluded the trial court from evaluating the reasonableness of the services expended by the petitioner. The court further ruled that the petitioner need not commence a separate collection action. In other words, they're not saying that the attorney has to file a separate suit to obtain a judgment for the fees. So, in other words, they can do it within the matrimonial case. And noting the trial judge presided over the underlying action was best positioned to resolve the fee dispute. So that's, that makes a lot of sense in light of the fact that the judge who heard this would be in a better position than a new judge to make that determination. And the court further noted that the fee petition filed in an underlying action should be tried as separate and distinct, a hearing would be held separately and distinctly on that. So that shows what has to happen when we're seeking legal fees. So let me come back in a couple minutes after I've placed some more spots from our sponsors.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
We're back. The program, It's the Law. I'm Pat Smits. As most of the people who listen know, I'm an attorney who handles family law matters, and including, obviously, custody, divorce. I now have an annulment case that's pending, domestic violence, and, you know, related issues. Premarital agreements, which, frankly, I believe almost everyone entering into a second marriage should have. Cohabitation agreements, and again, it's important if one person owns a home and allows a second person to move in, that there's an agreement. I mean, what happens if the relationship breaks up? It can be a very difficult situation getting the other person out of a home, and most people think, well, that's just very easy. I guess people who are landlords know that it's not easy to get someone out, not easy to get a tenant out, even when the tenant isn't paying the costs and the expenses and the rent, etc. But in any event, let's I'll talk about other things. I have another criminal law case, but there's good news is Justice Patterson has been nominated for tenure. That means that she's served on the Supreme Court in this case for 7 years, and she's been approved, and that's a life appointment. Well, life up until age 70. After that, all of our judges are forced to retire at age 70. Many of them actually come back and are part-time on recall. But we're wasting a huge resource in requiring every judge to retire at 70. The closer we all get to 70, the more we realize that that's too young to require somebody to retire. So what? There's some good news for Sanofi and Bristol-Myers Squibb. The Trenton federal judge has dismissed a False Claims Act suit against Sanofi and Bristol-Myers Squibb over the anti-blood clot drug Plavix, citing a change in the composition of the partnership that filed the suit. So that was a technical reason, but it was, in fact, dismissed. As I said, Justice Patterson was nominated for tenure. Governor Murphy announced that he will nominate Supreme Court Justice Ann Patterson for tenure. That's as good as getting tenure. And unfortunately, there were some games played in our recent past before the current governor was elected with tenure, even tenure on the Supreme Court. And it really caused huge problems. In fact, even a Republican justice was not reappointed. Helen Hones, excellent jurist, was not reappointed. So in any event, maybe this is all calming down. So that the other thing that will be important for a number of people here in New Jersey is that basically the legislature has overturned the Supreme Court decision in the Baby M case. You have to have a few years on you to remember the Baby M case. That was a case in which Bergen County, case in which the contract, they had a surrogacy contract where Mary Beth Whitehead was going to carry the fetus to term and then turn it over, and she balked and didn't, and there was litigation at the trial level up to the higher courts, and it turned out that at that point the court said that the contract, they would not enforce that contract, that it was unconscionable. But now, in a legislative effort that literally was years in the making, because what would happen is New Jersey people who wanted to be parents, who wanted to have a child by a surrogate, had to go somewhere else or take the risk that it would be thrown out. So the effort that truly was years in the making, and as I said, reached back to the watershed Baby M ruling, and that was during the Willens Supreme Court. That's how far back it was. It was the Supreme Court was the decision in Baby M was under Chief Justice Willens. So anyway, Governor Phil Murphy has signed legislation legally permitting binding gestational carrier agreements. In other words, today a woman can agree that she will carry potential child who she has no biological ties with. In other words, there would be a donor egg and a donor sperm, and the sperm might or might not be the husband's, and depending on who has a fertility problem, it could be the other way around, although that is not the usual way of handling it. But in any event, that now is going to be legal in New Jersey. People won't have to try to go elsewhere to have it done. So what about the criminal law case? Well, I was going to talk to you about U.S. versus Shaw. This was a Third Circuit case. And in this case, the defendant appealed from his conviction for obstruction of justice and for sexually assaulting an inmate while he was a corrections officer. So, in fact, this case came out of, if it's the same case, and I think it is, this came out of Hunterdon County. It was a very successful prosecution by our prosecutor. The defendant was a corrections officer at Edna Mahan, and one of the inmates, I think there was more than one actually, alleged that he had sexually assaulted her while he was covering the unit, and he was covering the unit alone due to short staffing. So apparently examiners recovered a DNA sample, which was determined to likely match defendant's DNA profile. Also, electronic records revealed that the inmate's cell door was opened around the time of the alleged assault. And then they had a surveillance video also refuted defendant's claim that he was on break during the incident. Now, you can imagine, this has got to be tough. This woman was in Edna Mahan. She was obviously a felon, and it was her word, not really because there was other evidence, but otherwise it would have been her word against his word. Frankly, this doesn't surprise me. I think it happened has happened in the past much more often than anyone would think. Prison guards have total control over prisoners, and sometimes there's they actually both parties want to be together, but it's against the rules, and it should be against the rules for anyone in a position of power or control to be involved with someone who's they're supervising or in any other way is subservient to that person. So anyway, in our case, U.S. versus Shaw, on appeal, the defendant challenged the district court's jury instructions and the sufficiency of the evidence at trial. Now, as I said, this was tried in the federal courts, not the state courts. So the court affirmed the judgment of the sentence. Now, what happened is the court first ruled that the district court properly instructed the jury on the charge of depriving the inmate of due process through aggravated sexual assault, by, and they define that term through reference to the federal aggravated sexual abuse statute. The court agreed with the defendant's challenge to the district court's reference. I'm being a little bit, certainly not very clear here, but in any event, the court first ruled that the district court properly instructed the jury on the charge of depriving the inmate of due process through aggravated sexual assault by defining the term through reference to the federal aggravated sexual abuse statute. The court agreed with defendant's challenge to the district court's reference to the disparities in coercion. I'm sorry, it was disparity in coercion power and physical size between the defendant and the inmate. And they said that was the reason that collapsed the distinction between the lesser and greater offenses, ruling that it could have led the jury to believe that non-consent or coerced consent was equivalent to the use of force. However, the court ruled that this error was insufficient to mislead the jury into convicting defendant with deprivation of due process. I'm going to take a short break here for news, and we'll be back.
USA Radio News.
Earlier today, President Trump wrapped up his meeting with a top North Korean official. The president then spoke to the media a short time ago.
We've gotten to know their people very well, and we will. You people are going to have to travel because you'll be in Singapore on June 12th. And I think it'll be a process. It's not. I never said it goes in one meeting. I think it's going to be a process.
With the latest on the U.S. unemployment numbers, here's USA Radio Network's John Clements.
The economy added 223,000 jobs in May as the unemployment rate fell to an 18-year low. Eleni Kara-George is with the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Total non-farm payroll employment increased by 223,000 in May, and the unemployment rate edged down to 3.8%.
Another sector of the economy showing job growth is for high school graduates, with an unemployment rate at 3.9%.
This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to GEICO's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh, man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to GEICO. Scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. What doesn't make sense is, if a highway splits, it's a fork in the road, then wouldn't the long straight stretch be a knife in the road? And then, wouldn't a cul-de-sac be a spoon in the road? What would a spork be?
GEICO Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
USA Radio News.
Earlier today, President Trump wrapped up his meeting with a top North Korean official. The president then spoke to the media a short time ago.
We've gotten to know their people very well, and we will. You people are going to have to travel because you'll be in Singapore on June 12th. And I think it'll be a process. It's not. I never said it goes in one meeting. I think it's going to be a process.
With the latest on the U.S. unemployment numbers, here's USA Radio Network's John Clements.
The economy added 223,000 jobs in May as the unemployment rate fell to an 18-year low. Eleni Kara-George is with the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Total non-farm payroll employment increased by 223,000 in May, and the unemployment rate edged down to 3.8%.
Another sector of the economy showing job growth is for high school graduates, with an unemployment rate at 3.9%.
This is USA Radio News.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 Plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Call now.
800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. That's 800-635-6303.
Not all benefits listed may be available on all plans or in a single benefit package. Enrollment in the described plan type may be limited to certain times of the year unless you qualify for a special enrollment period. No obligation to enroll.
American teenagers are bailing on Facebook. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
Maybe they got tired of their parents and grandparents sending them friend requests, but a new Pew Research Center study finds just 51% of U.S. teenagers are using Facebook these days. And that's a 20 percentage point drop since the last survey 3 years ago. This survey does find 85% of 13 to 17-year-olds in this country regularly use YouTube, 72% use Instagram, 69% are on Snapchat. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Today, President Trump took to Twitter to slam the Russia investigation for costing the taxpayers nearly $17 million. That new report out by the Justice Department is the second financial statement filed since the case began over a year ago. Your numbers on Wall Street currently, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up just over 200 points. This is USA Radio News.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke said today that his agency has been working with Native American tribes that are suffering under an influx of opioids and other hard drugs. Zinke joined Fox News to discuss why drugs are such a big problem on Native American reservations.
A lot of times the tribes have a lot of land, not a lot of law enforcement on the land, and they're being used by the drug dealers that come in, mule and traffic, not only drugs, but you know, child trafficking is really large, and you know, they need some help. Mm-hmm. So we work with the tribes. We're serious. As the president has said, this is a war on opioids. It's destroying communities. It's destroying communities on Indian reservations at a higher rate. And so we're targeting the problem, which is the drug dealers, and we've been enormously successful.
Zinke also explained some of the logistics.
So what we do is we coordinate with the tribal police, nation to nation, but it's been enormously successful, and I'm proud of what our BIA, our Bureau of Indian Affairs mm-hmm. officers have done, our BLM. We have 4,000 law enforcement officials.
A new poll conducted by Morning Consult and Politico shows that 53% of Americans are in favor of the new national anthem policy, while 32% disagree with it, and 15% had no opinion. Republicans do seem to be the biggest supporters of the new policy, with 80% approving and 60% strongly approving. The poll contacted just over 2,200 Americans and was conducted in the last week. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
on up.
Everybody right there.
Get into it.
Everybody right there.
Get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Okay, we're back. It's the law. And we only have about another minute. One of the things that I'm involved in, my own little project, is there's a real problem, and it's getting worse with respect to undocumented immigrants who are getting detained. Now, whatever you think about this, and of course, those of you who know me know that I served in the Peace Corps in Guatemala, and there are so many people coming across the border, and they really are seeking amnesty. Not a great time to be seeking amnesty. I know so many, not so many, but I know personal accounts of people who were fleeing women because of rape, terrible abuse, etc. Tragically, they are separating families. They're separating women from their children when they're coming across. And we now recently found out that more than 1,400 children, the government can't find out what they did with them. In other words, they were either put into foster care or into camps, and they don't know where they are. Horrible situation for anyone who has any sympathy for children. I mean, this is a not only an immigration problem, it's a child problem. And, of course, what I think is ironic is that we are ending up, meaning taxpayers are ending up supporting children who are born in the United States when their parents are detained and deported. But my project is to have undocumented parents be able to, there's a legal document, a power of attorney, that allows a parent to give the authority to someone else to care for and make decisions about their children in the event that they're detained or deported. And frankly, it means that these children will not have to go into the system. They will not have to go into foster care. They will not be another one of the so many children that DCPMP have to take custody of. And usually, of course, it's because the parents are unable, unfit, because of abuse, often, alcoholism, drug addiction. They're unable to care for their children, or they severely abuse them. So in any event, this is a project that I'll be talking about in the future, and I'm looking forward to anyone who's interested in learning more about it to contact me. You can contact me by just calling the Chamber office and saying that you're interested in this and you'd like to talk to Pat Smits. Obviously, it's not something that we're going to do in a public place because people are legitimately concerned about their status. So in any event, that's the end of my program, and we'll be back shortly with the sports guys.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists.